know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K26. And actually, I've done it a disservice. It's not just another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. It's a very special episode. It is the first installment of our guest series. This season, we are bringing you a brand new guest every single week. And week one, I was honored to have Larry Nance Jr. join the show to talk to us for an hour about basketball. We talked about football. You know, I'm an NBA fan over here in England. Larry's over in America playing in the NBA. He's an English football fan. So we talked a little bit about that, how he got into it, all sorts of stuff. We had a little debate, a little back and forth, whether it was basketball, whether it was football. I threw him in the hot water. That's not an easy. We don't hold no punches on this show. It was a great conversation, though. It was great vibes. And I said to Larry, listen, you know, I know the season's about to begin. We recorded this a couple weeks ago. I said, I know the season's about to begin. You've got training camp. You've got workouts going on. But listen, we have the best audience in the world. We have the best listeners in the world. And that is the Hoop Genius podcast family. And he said, Mo, you know what? I got you. So here it is. I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. It was really insightful, really interesting. I had a lot of fun recording it. And I hope that you guys have fun listening to it too. And subscribe to the show. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, our first guest of the year, Mr. Larry Nance Jr. Welcome to the show, my brother. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Now, I have a lot of congratulations in order for yourself. However, before we get to that, we have a very important, very, very important issue to discuss. Because Larry, one thing about me is I'm big on loyalty. And as you can see, I'm a proud supporter of Chelsea Football Club. So I'm going to throw you in right at the deep end. I know you weren't expecting this.
Throw me in at the deep end. Let's go.
What happened? I thought we were going to be best of friends. You know, you were a big Chelsea fan. The last time I heard about your, you know, your football journey, I hear things have changed.
So you're right. No, you're right. It's, I know it's frowned upon. I know it's taboo. I did start out originally, through my education of FIFA. And my favorite player ever is Samuel Eto'o. So it Legend. Just led me to, like, you know, Chelsea's good on FIFA. Eto'o played for them when I was when I started tuning in, and so it just made some sense. But I never, you know, once he left, I never really felt the connection there. It just felt like, you know, I was following the player, and then once the player left, it just, you know, I was missing a lot. But of recently, over the past few years, I've gotten lucky enough to get some ownership stake in Leeds United, and man, it doesn't matter if I'm an owner anymore. I am. It's marching on together till I die.
Well, listen, I often think about, you know, following the player instead of following the team, and there's millions of people around the world who just follow LeBron, and when he retires, or if he ever retires, I don't know who they're going to support. But let's talk about this, because my previous co-hosts, Mr. BJ Armstrong and Mr. Scott Perry, they're now over with the Sacramento Kings. So I understand, you know, now I'm kind of rooting for the Kings. I'm a Celtics fan, but I've got a soft spot for Sacramento there.
I respect it.
Yeah, our new co-host, Mr. Coach Brendan Sir, he couldn't be with us today. He's away doing a camp, but he sends his best regards. But as I said at the start of the show, I want to send you some congratulations, because you have joined an ownership group where there's a few NBA players, Andre Iguodala, Russell Westbrook, your good friend TJ McConnell, and now yourself in owning a stake in Leeds United Football Club. And another congratulations for your podcast, Switch the Play, that I have been tuning into in the Men in Blazers network. Let's talk about the ownership first. When did that opportunity arise? How did you come across it? And what made you want to pursue that pathway?
So I've been a diehard about just the general sport of football, like, my entire life. But I would say, again, 5-6 years ago is when I really just fell in love with it. You know, waking up 7:30 in the morning over here, watching the early game and just so on, and sitting on my couch for the entire slate. And so, you know, I knew I wanted to get more involved, and it's, you know, it's something that I've come to love as much as basketball at this point. You know, some would argue even a little more. I had a few different opportunities to get in a few different, you know, ownership sides of teams, and none of them felt really right. And, you know, when Leeds came about, you know, brought to me by, you know, TJ McConnell was actually the one that, you know, that kind of brought me the opportunity. Me and my wife took a visit to Leeds, and hey, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. So it's a blue collar working class, like, people, salt of the earth type of people, help you get your directions, thank you when you open a door type of stuff. And it just felt a little bit like home. And that's how I knew for me it was the right fit. And it's been a wild ride, but man, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Absolutely. And then on the podcasting side of things, when I talk to people around the league, when I talk to other media members, they always say, Larry's a great interview. He's great to talk to. When I talk to, executives and coaches, they say he's a great locker room guy. So you're clearly very talented in, speaking with people and holding conversations, but it's
Thank you.
kind of different when the spotlight's on you and, you've got a show that you've got to do every week and so on and so forth. How are you finding, the life of a podcaster?
It's been it's just dipping my toes in a little bit right now. Right now we're we've done two. We've got a third one coming up real soon here. And it's I'm just incredibly fortunate. There's never there's over here, of course, you've tiptoe the line of the bridge between the two sports, over there. But over here, it's kind of, football's still growing over here, and so there's a real lane to kind of, place our, put our stamp down right in the middle of the two. And I think it's a really cool opportunity because, these conversations aren't really happening anywhere else besides, Switch the Play. And these are conversations that guys are having in the locker rooms and having, after games when we're talking to one another. Just, the more pack, the more European influence gets brought to the NBA, the more guys are starting to get more passionate about the sport of football. And so, guys are excited for an outlet to express that.
Absolutely. And, the World Cup is coming to America. I saw that 1.5 million people signed up for tickets within the first day that the tickets were kind of the ballot was released, right? I'm putting a message out there to every, I don't know what network's covering it, but I need to see Larry in the studio. I need to see him front and center of that World Cup coverage. I'm pushing the agenda from now. I don't know whether you wanted to do that or not, but from
You know
listening to your
what? If
podcast, the
you push it, I'll
passion,
push it too.
there we go. I can hear the
I'm
passion in
pushing
your
it right
voice
with
when you
you.
talk about Leeds United. When we talk about football and the NBA, they're so interlinked now. I see some of the best footballers in the world all the time, courtside at games. I see NBA stars such as yourself taking trips over here to watch football. And I want to start off with a football and NBA equivalent. So I'm going to give you the name of a footballer or an NBA player, and you have to give me their converse, or their inverse, counterpart in the other
Okay.
sport. Okay,
Okay,
so
I like that. I like that.
we're going to start with Larry Nance Jr.
Oh man, that we weren't supposed to start with me. Man. You know what? I'm gonna go with 2 years ago, and for the last maybe, for the good most of the decade, Leeds United's captain was Liam Cooper. Center back, defensive minded, lay it all on the line, kind of a vocal leader and a on the pitch leader for, for the team. And for me, that's kind of where I hang my hat is leading the line from the back and being more vocal, being more vocal in my power forward center presence. You can see the whole court, it's in front of you. So, he's my favorite Leeds player. I see a lot of my game in the way he played as well. So, I'm gonna say Liam Cooper.
Before we continue, do you want to know my favorite Leeds player?
Who's that?
It's from the era where Leeds were a great team in the Premier League. It was the Mark Viduka era.
You know what's crazy is I was fortunate enough. I actually shot a I shot a commercial with Mark Viduka this summer.
That's crazy. Now that is,
Yeah,
you're
how cool
so
is
deeply
that?
entrenched into Leeds United. It's actually
I
wild.
love it. Truly, I love it. If I could show, I've got a whole rack of Leeds shirts just right around the corner here.
So let's continue with this. Your new teammate, Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell. I'm gonna go Saka,
Okay,
Bukayo
Bukayo
Saka,
Saka,
Bukayo
yes.
Saka. It just so exciting. Obviously a highlight factory, but we're and this is it's exciting because Arsenal's got the team to do it this year, and Donovan's got the team to do it this year. So we're excited to see both of them leading, but leading our teams to to the championship.
Well, I'm not excited to see Bukayo Saka leading Arsenal to the championship, as I'm clearly not an Arsenal fan. But let's flip it. Let's flip it. If I say to you, as I'm wearing a Chelsea jersey, Cole Palmer, who's his NBA equivalent?
Cole Palmer. Man. That's a really good one. I would say, right away, last year I played with the Hawks. I gotta give a little bit of, a little bit of Chili Trae Young, a
I
little bit of
hear.
Chili Trae Young there. He's got the assists, can score when he needs to, but it's all about the cold celebration on that one.
Now, we're going to go to a big name. And I think this one's pretty obvious for me, but I want to see if you have the same answer. Who is LeBron James's football equivalent?
Oh, it's Messi.
No,
It's
no.
the, I
It's
mean, look, to me, look,
Ronaldo.
look, to me, look, LeBron's the greatest of all time. Messi's the greatest of all time. That's where I'm at.
First of all, Michael
Wait, you
Jordan.
wait,
Michael
wait, wait,
Jordan is the
wait,
greatest of all
wait,
time.
wait, wait, wait,
And
wait, hold on, hold on.
yes.
Is Messi the best of all time?
I'm a big Ronaldo fan because when we're talking about Messi, right? When we're talking about Messi, he had the benefit of that Barcelona system with Xavi and Iniesta for the bulk of his career, right?
Oh man.
Ronaldo came to the Premier League and did it. He went to La Liga and did it. I've never seen Messi on a rainy Wednesday night in Stoke.
So here's my rebuttal. For me, it's if you ask the best football players who the best football player is, they'll tell you Messi. If you ask the best basketball players who the best basketball players are, most of us say LeBron. For me, that's enough. For me, like
I'm not
I
mad
gotta
at it.
respect the ones
I'm
that
a
know
huge
more.
Messi fan too. I'm a huge Messi fan too. Don't get it twisted. It's never a disrespect, but I think of it more through the lens of like LeBron is probably the best athlete we've seen. Ronaldo is one of the best athletes, the longevity that they both have. When I think of Messi, I think more of like Stephen Curry because of the way that Steph Curry can weave in and out all of those screens to get open for a three is the same way that Messi weaves in and out of those defenders.
That's fair in terms of play style, but like just in terms of like ball, career wise, Messi's the best. Ronaldo's the best, one of the best goal scorers ever, right? LeBron is one of the best passers, scorers, rebounders, assisters. You know what I mean? Like I that and Messi is too. So for me, like I would see Ronaldo in more of like a. I if I'm looking for maybe. KD,
KD,
he's one of,
okay.
I mean, one of the best scorers. This is what I do. I put the ball in the net.
Okay, well, we'll do one more before we continue. And that's the obvious name I'm going to ask you, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. I'm gonna say,
You've taken Ronaldo and Messi off the board now,
no, I've
so.
taken Ronaldo and Messi off the board. I'm gonna say Pele here.
Okay,
I'm gonna
legend.
say Pele
Legend.
here.
I
A
respect it.
legend, a legend, a legend. But like, it's a little bit of like the myth at this point is gotten so much bigger than like it's so hard to reach that. You know what I mean? The myth is almost as big as we don't. I wasn't alive to see Pele. I wasn't alive. You know what I mean? I wasn't really alive to see Mike. It's hard for me to put myself in the shoes of like, yeah, this guy's clearly better than him, but the myth of these two is the myth of those two, I think, is
See,
what I'm going off of.
Larry, you're lucky that BJ's moved on from this show because if he was sitting here and you're talking about his former teammate being a myth, it would be another 2 hours of dispelling those mythical rumors. But we got
Sure, no, look, you know what's crazy? Look,
to,
I grew up on VHS tapes of watching my dad's Cavs play those Bulls teams. So, I'm no slouch here. I watch my stuff.
So we've compared some of the players, but I want your perspective because, I hear about your tales of going to Ellen Road and having your pre-game beers at the Peacock. If you guys don't know, that's the famous pub outside the Leeds United ground. But how do you compare football fans and basketball fans?
Basketball is, if this is why I fell in love with football. Basketball is entertainment. Football is tribalism. It's passion. It's like they it's you know, you come to a basketball game and it's like, yeah, I'll watch the game and root for my team, but like you're also kind of seeing the sights and some of the entertainment at the in between the quarters and it's very American, I would say. Whereas football, it's like it's 45 minutes nonstop, a little break, and then 45 minutes nonstop. No commercials, no cheerleaders, no, you know what I mean? So it's very like you're there for your team and the sport. But it's, I mean, the fans are what made me fall in love with the game of football.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I really like about football is the chants and the songs that you have going. Obviously, I don't know the Leeds United ones, but you know, I know some of the Chelsea ones. But if there was going to be a
Which
chant,
one? Chelsea, Chelsea,
I was
Chelsea,
waiting for it. I was
Chelsea.
waiting. But I was going to say, would you, as a player playing in the NBA, how would you feel if NBA fans adopted that and they had a chant about a team or a player whilst it's going on? Do you think it would kind of catch you off guard and distract you a little bit?
I think it would. Absolutely. You know, it's a lot of guys say like, man, I don't hear what's said in the stands. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There are 20,000 people in there. You hear them. I would love that personally, honest. I think it would be really cool and engaging for the fans to be more involved like that. I actually saw Wemby had a quote where he wants a section of the Spurs stadium to kind of be like the ultras group.
Well, I want any Cavs fans listening to this. If you're going to be at the Rocket Arena, you can take the Chelsea chant and adapt it. You can go, Larry, Larry, Larry.
And they, whenever I score, start banging your seats like they do the gate.
So let's get a little bit more technical on the technical side of things, because something that a lot of people sent to me, you know, as a resident Boston Celtics fan, is Joe Mazzulla's friendship with Pep Guardiola. And they discuss managerial tactics. You know, I often hear from coaches that there are these coaching summits in the summertime where coaches from all different sports meet up and discuss how they plan games. But is there anything from a tactical perspective that you've seen in football that you've been able to take over to the way you play basketball in the NBA?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, honestly, a lot of the way we play through big guys, you know, when you throw the ball to Joel Embiid on the block or Jokic at the top, it's kind of a similar, it's to me, it gives a similar feel to like a big target forward, like a Chris Wood or a Lukaku that's just kind of, hey, let's ping it to the big man, let him hold it up and let everybody cut around him. It's very, to me, that to me is the most direct link in the two games, in just in terms of like, hey, we've got our put the big man in the middle and let everybody else fly and cut around him and just see, you know, you've got somebody that can make those passes in there. So, there's a lot of links, but you know, I think Joe and Pep's friendship has certainly got certainly starts budding. We'll start seeing some more.
Absolutely. With the Celtics loving to shoot all those threes, I wonder if Man City are just going to start firing from 50 yards out every time they get a chance.
Well, hopefully not. I need Holland to do well for my FPL team,
Oh,
you
you're a
know.
big FPL guy.
Big FPL
How's it
guy,
been going so
absolutely.
far? How's it been going so far this season?
I had a great week one, but man, it's been rough ever since. What's Cole Palmer doing, man?
He's been injured. He's been
I
injured.
need more. I need more.
He's working
I
his way
need
back.
more.
Is we've got a lot of new players in the squad. They're working their way. The chemistry's building. So, you know, I'm interested to see by January how we're looking. I'm not too stressed about right now.
Okay, I like that.
But I hear a rumor that you used to be a very good goalkeeper when you were younger. Is that true?
Goalkeeper, no. Striker,
Oh,
yes.
striker.
Yeah, man. I scored the goals. I scored the
Okay,
goals.
okay, okay. What? Who would you compare yourself to when you were playing back then, though?
Oh, man. Trying to think. I was just a, I mean, as you can imagine, I was a pretty awesome aerial threat.
Yeah, coming
Pretty
like Peter
awesome aerial threat.
Crouch.
You know what? I wish I could strike the ball that clean, but yeah, we'll say Peter Crouch a bit. Well, a bit Chris Woody. You know what I mean? Those corners coming in, I'm a big deal.
I'm gonna need to see you do the Peter Crouch famous robot celebration at some point this season. I think that would set the internet on fire. There we go.
You know, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I just might dunk on somebody and robot
That I promise you would be the most
on them.
iconic dunk celebration of. It'd be more iconic than Sean Kemp doing the, you know,
That
the
would be
fingerpoint
great.
celebration. Given how much you love football now, and obviously you love basketball as well, but if you could go back in time and you had the option to become a Premier League player,
Yes.
you would do that instead of playing in the
Yeah,
NBA.
oh. In a heartbeat.
Why?
I don't. I wish I could tell you why. I just enjoy at this point in my life right now. I just enjoy. If you ask me, like, hey,
Is this the
hey,
part?
Burton.
Is this the part where you say you don't have to play 82 games if you're a footballer?
No, it's not even that. Just like it's just the joy of I can't even tell you why. I think at this point I enjoy watching soccer more than I or football more than I enjoy watching basketball. I'll turn on let me watch I'll watch Burnley and Brentford before I sit down and watch some basketball games. I've done that my whole life. I'm locked in on football now.
Okay, shout out to Burnley and Brentford. Eh? I never thought I'd hear
Well,
that.
whoa. I say them because it's probably bound to be a low scoring affair, right? Or I could even throw Leeds in there at this point. We gotta get some goals.
With Leeds United, if you could sign one NBA player to play for Leeds United, who would that be?
You know what? I've always thought, can I have does is time? Can I get any time period?
Let's go all time.
Okay, all right. Well, I just want an Oklahoma City Russell Westbrook. You
That's one of
know,
my
I think
favorite players ever.
he's got to be. He's 6'4", explosive, athletic. I think he would. I think obviously, if with the foot skills, would be incredible. He's just a top tier athlete.
Absolutely. Now, I know there's a lot of European guys in the NBA now, so I don't want you to tell me kind of the best NBA players who are the best to play in football, because unfortunately, I think the European guys would kind of just wash everyone, or some of the African guys as well.
Pretty easily.
But if you had to make a starting five of footballers to play in the NBA, who would your lineup be?
Of footballers to play in the NBA. Give me Big Dan Byrne. I want Thibaut Courtois.
The
This is
big
going to be
2K
just
player.
all. This he is a big 2K player. He's a good friend. Give me. I'm gonna mess up the pronunciation of his name, but Newcastle's new signing at striker, Voldemata, or however you say his name.
I'm gonna leave the pronunciation to you, my brother.
Okay, yeah. You know who I'm talking about. He's a big fella. What's that? Three? Four?
That's three.
Three. Did I already say Peter Crouch?
No, you didn't.
Okay, bring me Peter Crouch, and then I need a guard. You know what? Give me Steph Curry.
Okay,
I
that's good. That's
want
good. I thought you'd have big Virgil van Dijk in there somewhere.
Messi. Well, I have the height. You know what I mean? I went four guys about 6'5" above, so I need someone smaller.
Yeah, you got some screens being set for Messi to do what he could do. So I hear it. Is there anything rules-wise that you see in football that you wish the NBA would implement and vice versa? Because for me, when I watch football, the only part of football that I don't enjoy is the kind of time wasting. You know, the fact that the clock keeps running when the ball's out of play. In rugby, they stop the clock. In basketball, they stop the clock. I wish that football would just simply stop the clock when the ball is not in play. But is there any rules that you can see, either way, that you would like to change over?
Kind of a bit of a silly one. I would love when they score, I want to celebrate. You know what I mean? I
What,
want to be
like
able, if I
every
knock down a
basket?
three, I if I knock down a three, I want a 3 to 4 second pause. Where I can give my fans some, I can soak in the moment.
Are you kidding
But
me?
that's
Because
obviously the game would last 7 hours.
you watch football at 7:30 a.m. I watch the NBA West Coast games tip off at 3 a.m. Now this
Okay,
season
all right.
with the new schedule, they're tipping off at 4 a.m. So I would
All
love
right,
to
well,
see the
maybe not.
celebrations, but only on the early tip-offs. How about Sundays,
Maybe
midday
not.
tip-offs? How about we go with that?
Deal. Deal. I would say. I would like, you know, what would be a great rule to implement in basketball? Offsides. I would love to see it. I would love to see it. Where just
Offsides.
there's no run outs, no leak outs anymore, where guys just get cheap layups. Just, no, you can't pass it. You can't pass it behind the last defender. Now, obviously, once you cross midfield or once you cross half court line, obviously that goes away. But I don't want to see anybody cherry picking down the court anymore. I don't want to see it.
I wish you could tell that to the people I play against on 2K in the rec, because they stay in those
That's
corners waiting for the outlet passes.
what I'm saying.
In the time you spent in the UK, You've been up in Leeds a lot, but you've been to Newcastle, you've been to Stamford Bridge a bunch of times, so on and so forth. What British slang have you learned in your time over here? Have you picked
Oh,
up any of the phrases?
my favorite is in it.
In
Big fan,
it,
big fan of in it. Big fan. Whenever I come home, my wife has to ask me, please stop saying in it. Nah, I can't. I can't. It's the best. That's a good one.
That is the number one. When I'm in the States, that's the number one thing. When people realize I'm from the UK, they're like, "Oh, you're from the UK, in it?" And I'm
Yeah,
like,
it's the
"Yep,
best.
I guess."
No, it's a good one.
We've been talking a little bit about football, but I wanted to get a little bit deeper into the basketball side of stuff as well. Seeing as you're now a podcaster, I feel like there's a rite of passage that every NBA podcaster has to go through. And I'm not sure if you've done this yet, but there's two questions that every podcast co-host seems to ask on every NBA podcast ever. The first one
Okay.
is your welcome to the league moment.
My welcome to the league moment was my rookie year. We were playing the Knicks in Staples Center, and I was having a pretty good game, pretty good game. Carmelo, I started on Carmelo and had done a pretty decent defensive assignment. I think he only had 6 or 8 going into the fourth quarter. And so, quietly, I was kind of feeling myself like, man, that's pretty good. Good on me. Kobe decided to make a playful jest like, man, you let my rook, you got 6. Is he that good of a defender? You gonna let my rook shut you down? Boy, when I tell you, I had the worst fourth quarter. Melo, he started hitting me with his patented jab jump from the post, jab pull-ups from 3. Man, when that fourth we had a decent lead. The lead was erased. Melo ended up with like 32. It was a nightmare for me. But I mean, for me, that was like the first moment of like, okay, yeah, he is who I thought he was.
Yeah. Shout out to Melo on the cover of NBA 2K26.
Hey man, shout
Shouts to
out
the show.
Melo, one
Shout
of
out
the
to Melo every
all-time
time.
greats.
And you've already answered the second question of the typical podcast questions, which is a Kobe story. So I feel like you've hit two in one there. I
That's fair.
unless you have another story about Kobe you want to share.
Let me think. I mean, I've got a bunch. I'm trying to think of one I haven't told. This may be here, maybe a silly one, but like it's just for me, I don't know why I needed it, but I did. I'm a very good athlete. Right, like that's what I came in the NBA doing. That's who I am still. But I went to the University of Wyoming. I didn't play against any real, NBA talent in that league, or I didn't know what this level was. So for me, I'm just watching these guys on TV, and they're superheroes to me. So I get in the league, and in first couple games, I'm missing layups and trying to shoot with my left hand because that's what my coaches wanted us to do. And I'm really trying to work on these things they want to implement. So Kobe drops this beautiful pass. I forget what game it was, and I go up with the left hand and try to finish around maybe Al Horford and just smoke the layup. And we come back to a timeout, and he looks at me. Am I allowed to swear or no? Is I
Yes,
just
you can. You can. We'll
he
beep it.
goes,
We'll beep it.
okay. He goes, hey mother, you are the best athlete I've seen in a long dunk everything. If you shoot another layup, if you shoot another layup, I'm having him take you from the game. Dunk every single time you get near the rim. And for whatever reason, it was just that opened my entire game up to just be like, yeah. Why do I don't necessarily need to work on my left hand lays if I can just, I mean, if I can
Yeah,
just turn
you
it
just
over and
dunk the
dunk it,
ball.
like, what's the point? There's no need to getting all pretty and cute. Just if I can go up and over you, why wouldn't I just do that every time? And I don't know why I didn't realize it, but it took his belief in me to just like give me that little nudge to just start dunking on folks.
And he created an absolute monster because some of the dunks you've thrown down, a ridiculous
Thank you.
man. You mentioned just then that you're a great athlete, obviously, but I actually need your help in settling a debate that has been tearing TikTok apart recently. The
Okay.
question is, which sport is more difficult, football or basketball, from an athlete's perspective?
For me, I would say technically football, but I think on the athlete, I think basketball. Because unless you're in midfield, really, you are. I have midfield, and on some teams, the outside backs, the wing backs, you are playing defense or you're playing offense. On basketball, like, you do both, and it's a constant. So I think, that adds a little bit of that adds more stress on the athlete, I think. But technically, hand-eye coordination is so much easier to develop than foot-eye coordination, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think about it through the lens of, first of all, basketball has way more rules than football.
Yes. Yeah.
Like if you're new to basketball, you're not going to know about a defensive 3 seconds or a backcourt or, so on and so forth. But I also think about it through the lens of like, if you took someone who's not played sports ever before, I think football would be easier to pick up just based on the fact that I can go and play football with my friends and hold my own. But my friends who play football can't come and hoop with me because they don't know how to take a layup or a Euro step or a 3-point shot. Do you get what I'm saying? I think way more practice is
Yeah.
required for the average person. I can only speak from a civilian's perspective on pickup hoops and five-a-side football. I can't speak to like Premier League and NBA like you can. But
Right.
that's
No.
the way I see it.
I could see that, but yeah, I think for me it's more so like if I can throw a pass at if I to lined up every Premier League player and gunned a chest pass at him, I think most of them would catch it. If you took every NBA player and pinged a ball at him with and hey, said trap it, control it, that ball would be every we can't. I can't do. We can't do that.
Yeah, but then it's the other way around because if you took every NBA player and put them on the penalty spot and told them to kick the ball into the net, 100% of them could do it. If you took
Sure.
every Premier League player and told them to short score a free throw, I don't think all of them are scoring a free throw because I've seen some of them try and hoop.
That's fair, but back to my previous argument, how many are actually goal scoring on the pitch?
Yeah, that's about it.
So like it could I yes, could I bang a penalty? Yeah, no problem. But that may not be my role. My big self, I'm probably in goal. I'm probably a center back. You know what I mean? So like,
Yeah, but
I
you see, Larry, this is what you're missing is I'm English, right? So my biggest fear in the world is a penalty shootout because we have lost so many competitions on penalty shootouts. So
I
in
respect
my
that.
mind, everyone, even the goalkeeper, has to be able to score a penalty. If it goes 10, 11 deep in a penalty shootout, everyone's got to step up.
No, that's look, as an Englishman, I respect that fear. That's a healthy fear to have, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous about the World Cup coming up, but I think we do
Well,
have a good chance.
you just gotta have your women take the penalties. They
Exactly.
bring Chloe Kelly up there, she'll set a new record.
There you go. Do you know what? One rule I think that football should have, but not from the NBA, from the NFL. I think that you should be able to substitute on a kicker just for set pieces. Like, imagine England are at the World Cup, they get a free kick just outside the box with 2 minutes to go.
Wait,
And out
who are
of
you
nowhere,
calling up?
I'm calling David Beckham from retirement to put that top bins. Because I
You
know he
know
still
what?
got it.
I got a better one for you.
Go ahead.
You're not bringing James Ward-Prowse.
No, I'm bringing
You're
David
not?
Beckham. No,
What?
I'm
He's
respecting my
50
OG.
something.
It doesn't. You got it. You got it. You got it.
That's
You
fair.
got it. See,
That's
I would
fair.
still bet on Michael Jordan making a free throw if the game was on the line, even at this age.
Yeah, hi, yeah, all right. I am mad at you. I'm not mad at you. That's, yep, reasonable.
There we go.
Reasonable.
Football's getting huge over there in America. Basketball is increasing in popularity over here in the UK. In your time over here, what's your experience been? Do you get recognized a lot? Have you seen any of the British Basketball League games? What are your thoughts on basketball over here in the UK?
So I actually have seen a few games. I had a few buddies that played for I'm actually not sure what happened to the team now, but I had a few buddies that played for the London Lions. So
Yep.
I saw saw a few of those games, but whenever I'm around, that's one of my favorite reasons I enjoy going over there is 'cause like nobody cares at all who I am other than just being the tall bloke over there. So you know, every now and again, you get somebody that's like, you know, that follows basketball and watches. So they, you know, they'll ask for a picture, just like, what are you doing over here? And it's, you know, I enjoy that interaction because it's fun.
My friend Mick is a diehard Leeds United fan. You'd get along with him great. And
Great.
he sent a picture a few weeks ago at a Leeds game with TJ McConnell. And I looked at the picture and I thought, because TJ, he's not tall like you. Or
No.
comparative, he's tall compared to an average human, but he's not like NBA player you could recognize in a crowd. And I looked at the picture and I go, do you think anyone else in the stadium would have recognized TJ McConnell? Because obviously he's not wearing the Pacers uniform. He's not dressed like a basketball player. He's just dressed like a normal. I think he was wearing like a throwback Leeds jersey. I was like, do you think anyone else would have recognized him? And it must be so nice to be able to go kind of incognito to something.
Yeah, no, that's when that is one thing he actually spoke about on our on
Yep.
the Switch to Play pod is you know, just how nice it is to kind of be fly below the radar sometimes. You know, for me, I'm 6'8", I can't hide. I can throw a hat on, I can wear some shades, but if you look up, you see me. But it is nice that, you know, it's TJ, I think I've actually seen the picture you're talking about. Because TJ was cracking up at just the fact that, like, yeah, I was able to go all through the Peacock, go in the East Stand, buy some food, and nobody bothered, nobody cared, nobody knew, which is an ideal experience.
Absolutely. You're back home now in Ohio, Cleveland, signing with them again for the second time in your career. How are you feeling to be going back home, especially with such a strong squad that you've got with my Boston Celtics not really trying to compete this year? The East is wide open. We're going to let you guys have a shot at it.
Thank you so kindly for
You're
your
welcome.
allowing us
You're
to have a
welcome.
shot. No, it's you know, Cleveland's home for me. I'm born and raised here. My dad played for the Cavs. You know, I've been a Cavs fan my entire tenure in the NBA. You know, it feels great to be back home. It feels great to be with such a talented team and a close-knit group. You know, the coolest part about it is like all these guys are awesome guys, like terrific human beings. So it's a really good locker room to be a part of. Plus, you know, I get my grandma, you know, my parents are right down the road. So I got two daughters that really, really are enjoying some grandparent time.
That's beautiful. You're going to be on the squad with Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley, obviously in the front court, one of the most dominant front courts we've got in the NBA. Have you spent much time working out with them, and have you gotten to know them since you decided to sign back with the Cavaliers?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we're in the gym every day right now, and yeah, we work out at the same basket. So I've gotten some good time with them. Plus, me and Jarrett were on the team together when I was last year,
Oh,
so
of
I
course.
know him pretty well.
Is Evan Mobley really, I saw a picture of him and he's absolutely jacked now over this offseason. Is that real, or is that just he's got the post-workout pump for the Instagram photo?
No, he looks good. He looks great. You know, he's definitely put on some muscle. But with a guy like that, you don't want to straddle him with too much muscle. You know, I'm not even sure what his wingspan is, but it feels like whenever you stop him, you never actually stop him because he can just reach, he can just go gadget his, you know, the ball to the rim. So, he's somebody that I'm really excited to not have to play against anymore. But no, he looks great. I'm excited for another monster year from him.
Now, looking ahead to the season, as we said, the Celtics are kind of taking a year off. But which other teams in the East are you looking at as your biggest competition?
Oh man, I mean, you got to say the Knicks right now are really dangerous. You know, their top end talent is their roster looks great. You know, they signed Jordan Clarkson and Gershon Yabusele this summer, so
And Malcolm
they're
Brogdon the
exciting.
other day as well.
Yeah, I forgot Malcolm signed there. Jeez, yeah,
They're
that's I mean,
stacked. They stacked this year.
they're pretty good. No, they're pretty good, but
They also signed Tosin Awuzie, a player from the UK. He's got a little
did they
contract
really?
over there. I'm not sure if it's a 10-day contract or a two-way contract, but they picked him up last week, I think.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very
Well,
cool.
hopefully he's still on the team by the time this episode comes out. But yeah,
Yeah, that
that's
would be,
great.
I mean,
But they're stacking a deck, They're really loading up in every position.
yeah, no, they look great. They look great. You know, obviously, you know, with to get there requires so much luck in terms of staying healthy and all that, that, you know, you never really know until, no, you know, I'm sure nobody would have picked the Pacers to come out of the East last year, but, you know, here we are. So
Yep.
I think there's a lot of luck that has to go into play, and there's a lot of season that goes into it, but you know, just looking at the rosters right now, of course you have to say the Knicks. Of course you have to say Orlando looks strong with the trade for Desmond Bane. Detroit, My former head coach JB Bickerstaff has got those boys playing great, and I'm excited for him and them. It's tough. Tyrese going down. Dame went to, you can never overlook a Giannis Milwaukee Bucks. Plus, they've got a secret weapon. There's another Nance in the NBA. So my brother's playing for the Bucks as well. He's on a two-way. So of course, if the Cavs aren't playing the Bucks, I want the Bucks to win.
Well, I'm hoping for a Jaylen Brown MVP, Peyton Pritchard most improved, and we kind of hold it together. But I don't know. I'm not going to ask who's going to win East because I know you're going to say yourself. But the question is, who do you think is going to win the Western Conference? Who do you think, if you're visualizing the NBA Finals in the spring, that you're going to be matching up with when you get there?
Oh man, it's so hard not to say the Thunder. It's so hard not to say the Thunder. They've got everything at this point.
Can I make a
My my I, I
counterpoint?
would go ahead.
They've got everything, but the Houston Rockets have now got Kevin Durant, Alperen Şengün, who was dominating at Eurobasket, Amen Thompson with another year of experience. They're looking scary. What do you think about the Rockets?
No, they're I mean any team with KD is a threat. Any team with KD is a threat. But it always, it to me, I'll be really interested. I'm not interested in them the first, month and a half in the season, maybe even 2 months, because they've got to take time to gel and grow and learn how to play with, that caliber of a, he's a whole universe in himself. So, you got to learn how to play with that caliber of a player. So I'm not worried about them at the start of the season, but if they can get firing at the end, if they can figure out each other's tendencies and whatnot, again, I'm just glad I'm not in the West anymore. Because I was even gonna say Denver. You can never
Yeah,
write off the best. You can
with
never
Cam
write off the
Johnson
best.
now.
Yeah, you can never write off the best player in the world, and that's Nikola Jokic for me. So I think he you can never write them off either.
Absolutely. If we had to do some quick predictions, who you got winning MVP this season?
MVP this season. The Cavs are the number one seed. Donovan Mitchell is my MVP.
And then Defensive Player of the Year?
Wemby.
Okay. And
Yeah.
coach of the year?
Coach of the year. Do we know who got it last year?
Coach of the year last year. I should know that off the top of my head, but I have been enjoying the off season very
Oh,
much.
that's all right. Was it
it was Kenny Atkinson.
Ime? Was it Kenny? All right.
Your
Well, all right. That
coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
takes the pressure off me, which is why I didn't choose Evan for defensive player again, because he won it last year. We got to spread the love. Coach of the year, I'm gonna go with Ime Udoka and them Rockets.
Most improved player.
Back to the Rockets. I'm gonna go Amen Thompson.
And sixth man of the year.
Sixth man.
Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah, you know what?
Put your
Yeah,
hat in the ring.
I don't want to put that mojo on me. I'm gonna go Naz Reid. I'm gonna go Naz Reid.
Solid shout, solid shout. I think that this season has the potential to be one of the most exciting seasons we've seen in a long time. Just because, as we said, there's so many players that could win these awards, so many teams that could win each conference.
Right.
One part of the NBA that me growing up was the huge part of the calendar was All-Star Weekend. And you've been a part of All-Star Weekend. You did the dunk contest. I think you and your father were the first father-son duo to both do the dunk contest. Why is there such a thing around the dunk contest now where a lot of guys don't want to do it anymore?
I think for me, the reason I stopped doing it is it feels like we're at the limit of what the human body can do. We've seen guys jump, throw the ball off the backboard, put it between their legs. Like there's a limit to what gravity will allow us to do. And I think it's really hard to keep fresh ideas coming. You're gonna keep seeing recycled dunks and tributes to old dunks and all that type of stuff, just because we got day jobs, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
yeah,
like, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure there are people that sit around and think of dunks and brand new dunks and stuff like that, but
Yeah, shout out to Mac
I
McClung.
yeah, sure, absolutely. But I think there's just a limit to how much time we trying to play an 82 game season. And you know, again, gravity can only allow you to do so much. You can only stay in the air for so long.
You know, I have a theory about a dunk contest. I think that social media has ruined the dunk contest because
I agree with you.
we're so exposed to seeing great dunks at like high school level, college level, and there's professional dunkers. My friend Joel Henry is six-time world dunking champion. He does dunks that are so crazy on a weekly basis touring around the world that you see on Instagram. And then when you tune in for the NBA dunk contest, if they're not doing double 360 between the legs like he can do because he's a full-time dunker, then it's going to be somewhat of a disappointment. I do think the NBA should have a replacement event, a one-on-one tournament. Who would you pick if every player in the NBA had to sign up? Who would you pick to win a one-on-one tournament?
Pretty easily, I think I'm taking KD.
Okay.
I think I'm taking KD. He's in my opinion, the greatest scorer that's ever lived. So, good luck. I've been on that island before. It's a lonely, lonely place. It's a lonely place.
Man, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. Me and my friends have this debate more often than a normal person would have, right? And it might sound ridiculous until you really think about it. But prime Shaquille O'Neal, and this isn't like later career Shaquille O'Neal where it slowed down. This is like prime Shaquille O'Neal when he was running fast breaks, and prime Stephen Curry in a one-on-one game. What's the score and who wins?
Who starts with the ball?
That's really the question, but
Yeah.
I guess it's shoot to start that it's Steph,
If it's shoot to start and it's Steph,
because
you just can't miss. You
Steph's
just
the
can't
greatest
miss.
shooter, but Shaq, 7 foot with his wingspan and the athleticism that he had early in his career, I'm sure he could get him to miss. You think Steph's gonna score seven straight?
No, I mean, I'm taking Shaq,
Yeah.
but it just depends. Like, we've seen him get hot. If he
Yep.
gets hot, if he starts dancing around and shimmying, there's no answer. It's not just Shaq. It's me, it's
Anyone
anybody
ever.
else. There's nothing you can
Yeah.
do. So you're talking about two unstoppable players. My answer is whoever gets the ball first.
Yeah, it's two unstoppable forces, but complete opposite ends of the spectrum into
Yeah.
how unstoppable they are. Because I always think, like, if Shaq gets the ball and Steph has to
It's
guard
over.
him and Shaq's backing him down to the hoop, is he going to have any ribs left to come back and shoot any more threes? Because
Well, is there a dribble limit?
that would make it really interesting.
Because if there's a dribble limit, it's Steph.
Yeah, that would make it really interesting. But I don't know. We're going to have to figure out. Me and my friends, we like to do these kind of things on 2K who do support the show. Are you a big fan of NBA 2K? Did you get time to play it? Because I heard when you first saw yourself in 2K, that was a big moment for you.
Yeah, no, it was a huge moment for me. I grew up playing 2K in career mode and all that good stuff. You know, as I've got two kids, man. I don't get too much time to play NBA 2K anymore.
So you got to teach them 2K so they can grind the challenges and complete all the VC rewards, and then you can just come and enjoy the rest of the game when they go to sleep.
No, I mean, when they get older, you know, I'm not sure my 4-year-old and 1-year-old are going to be holding controllers anytime soon, but you know, when they get older, we're going to be playing Dynasty modes together for sure.
Absolutely. And I also hear you're a big sneakerhead. Is that something you still get into now that you've got kids and other responsibilities, or is that more of a young man's game?
I'm not a sneakerhead in the formal sense. Like I don't have I basically wear Air Force Ones every day, everywhere I go. A clean pair of Air Force Ones
See,
is.
to me, that makes you a sneakerhead, though, because the inflation on Air Force Ones, from when I was growing up, Air Force Ones were £60 here. Now Air Force
That's
Ones are
fair.
100 pounds. So to wear a clean pair every day, you get about
Well, and
maybe
not
a.
well, every day I don't do that.
No,
But you know, we
but
you
like on
know
a
it's
regular basis, because they crease
but
quite easily as well. You know what I mean?
they do, but you have to understand, you know, being in the NBA, you get You know, we have a shoe deal, so I'm signed with Nike, and so therefore some Air Forces, you know, that comes without
Oh,
too much of a hassle. But you know,
yeah.
for me, my what I wear on court, yeah, I'm a true sneakerhead when it comes to that. I wear nothing but retro bronze and Jordans exclusively. That's all I'm gonna wear.
Give me your top three shoes to hoop in of all time.
Of all time.
Like the specific model of the shoe if you can.
I want my favorite are the LeBron 2s, the white and gold version. The Jordan 10s, ideally, they just got re-released. The steel, the black and silver with mainly white, of course. And three, gonna say Bron 8s. We just played some pickup in the Galaxy in the Galaxy 8s this year, or the Galaxy 8s today, and they were pretty awesome. So
Yeah, see, you are a sneakerhead because those aren't the usual picks that most guys go for. Most guys, it's like Kobe 4s, Kobe 5s, Kobe 6. That's like most guys
nah.
around the league.
No, for me, like I need some structure to my shoe. I want a nice high ankle. So Bronze and Jordans.
Do you find that having the high tops and the extra support is an advantage for, someone like yourself who's a forward and you dunk a lot and that kind of thing?
I think so. I think so. For me, it's a lot of why I started wearing LeBrons. Obviously I'm from Akron, so my favorite player, surprise, surprise. But I the biggest reason is, look, the shoe is designed for a guy that's 6'8", about 250 pounds, and jumps real high. I'm a guy that's about 6'8", 250 pounds, and jumps real high. So, that's it makes a whole lot of sense to me, and so that's why I've kind of stayed with them. And fortunately, I've had some other injuries, but my ankles and feet have been healthy, and so I credit the shoes.
I unfortunately, I don't think they make basketball shoes for guys who are 6'2", 250 pounds and don't jump very high.
Exactly.
So.
I'm not sure they do.
But Larry, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you've got a lot going on, so I'll let you go. I just wanted to say, thank you for coming on the show. It has been a real pleasure having this conversation with you. And I never thought I would be so locked into a podcast that's primarily like 90% Leeds United talk. But it is pretty addictive because I just love when people are passionate about things that interest them. And, credit to you because most NBA players, they start podcasts so that they can rewrite their career and exaggerate on things that they've done. But you have taken something that's not an everyday occurrence and you're really making your own lane in it. And I'm super excited to see how it all pans out.
Man, thank you. I really appreciate that. That truly means a lot to me. I've thought a lot, really wanted to do it for a long time. So happy it's here, and I appreciate your support. So thank you for having me on.
Always, brother. And next time you're over here, I've got to get you back to Stamford Bridge. I've got to get you back to Stamford Bridge.
The only unless Leeds are playing, I ain't going.
Well, I'm gonna look up the fixtures of Leeds and Chelsea, and we'll see when it can work out. But I know you've got
No,
a busy season ahead.
sounds great, man. I'm always in to soak up a good atmosphere.
Yes, sir. Good luck with this season. While we take the
Thank you.
year off in Boston, I hope you guys go get that chip, go do what you got to do, my brother, and all the best
Thank
in your
you.
preparations for it. I'll catch you next time.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
Like I told you guys at the beginning, this is week one. We've got another guest next week, and another one, and another one, and another one. And if I showed you the list of guests that we have, you wouldn't even believe me. We are cooking. We've got the heat on maximum this season. We're turning up the levels. Shout out to Larry Nance Jr. Shout out to his team. Shout out to the Men in Blazers. Shout out to everything he's doing on that side. Shout out to you guys for listening. So please do subscribe because we bring you this podcast for free, no paywall. No annoying ads. We're supported by our family at NBA 2K26 and we give them a shower, but you don't have to sit through other what I listen to other podcasts. They're talking to me about razors to shave your lower regions. I'm not trying to hear that. I'm trying to hear only greatness. That's what we're bringing you. We're bringing you people who have achieved greatness, whether it's Coach Sir as the co-host, whether it's Larry Nance, who's made it to the league as a guest on the show, whether it's next week's guest, who I'm not even going to tell you, but just listen, there's levels in this game. The only thing I ask in return is please do subscribe to the show. That's all I ask, whether it's on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, please subscribe to the show. And if you're feeling extra generous, feel free to give us a little 5-star on Apple or Spotify, a little positive review. If you're on YouTube, like the video, maybe leave a comment, maybe share it with your friends. That's all I ask in return. I do this for all of you guys. That's why we're doing a show, to spread the love of the game. That's why we do this. When I say the vibes, the vibes are always on 10. The vibes are always positive. And I appreciate each and every single one of you. Please do subscribe. We'll be back on Monday with a weekly recap of everything in the world of the NBA. And then on Thursday, another week, another guest. Until next time, get buckets.